Psalm 61 is our study this evening. I thought about a couple titles for this message. Sometimes titles are not easy for me to come up with. One of the titles I thought of for this message, found in verse 7, is this: Preserved by mercy and truth. Preserved by mercy and truth. For certainly that is the case. Mercy and truth. By His mercy and by His truth, we have been preserved, saved, justified in the Lord Jesus Christ. In Proverbs 16, don't turn, let me just quote it to you. In Proverbs 16, it says, By mercy and truth, iniquity is purged. And that's so. That's so. Or we could call this message this. I'm kind of conflicted between these two sermon titles here. We could call this message this: The Rock That Is Higher Than I. Or Lead Me to the Rock. Lead me to the rock. You know, the Lord never leads us astray. We all by nature are like sheep that have gone astray, but the Lord leads us to Himself. He draws us to Himself. This is a good prayer for any sinner to cry: Lord, lead me to the rock. Make that our cry. Make that your cry. Lead me to the rock. Not just any rock. There's just one rock. The high rock. The high ground. And that is none other than the Lord Jesus Christ. Our Lord said, I'll build my church upon this rock. I'll build my church in the gates of hell. The gates of hell shall not prevail. For the Lord Jesus Christ, He indeed is the Most High God, to whom we are led by the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit leads us not to emotion, not to tradition, not to ceremony, not to a time and place. God, the Holy Spirit, leads us to the Lord Jesus Christ. Our Lord said, when He, the Spirit of truth, has come, He'll take the things of mine, His righteousness, His sacrifice, His truth, His word. He'll take the things of mine and show it unto you. You know what it takes God to reveal God? It takes God, the Holy Spirit, to reveal God, the God-man, the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, this psalm is short but sweet, just 8 verses, filled with the blessed gospel promise of salvation in Christ. As every psalm is. As every psalm is. Now, most think this psalm was given unto David when he was exiled from Jerusalem and forced to flee for his life when his own son Absalom led a rebellion against him. You know what broke his heart? Broke his heart. Do you imagine having your own son turn on you? Not only kick you out of the house, but make you leave town. Push you off the throne and lead a rebellion against you. You know, David's heart was broken, for he loved Absalom. When he died, he wept for him. Oh, Absalom, Absalom, my son, would God I had died for thee. In the sorrow of his heart and in his grief, he was overwhelmed, which led him to cry unto God for deliverance. And that's what he does in verse 1. Hear my cry, O God. My heart is broken. Attend unto my prayer. Trouble from the hand of the Lord. Now listen to this statement. Trouble from the hand of the Lord is a blessed thing when it drives us to the Lord Jesus Christ for relief, for comfort, for help, for assurance, for salvation. Lord, send trouble. Send trouble. That it might drive me to the Lord Jesus Christ. I have a dear preacher friend I've known for years and years and years, down in Madisonville, Kentucky, an old country boy, but he's a lover of the gospel and a great gospel preacher. But he used to have this one saying that I kind of picked up on. He said, hug up to the Lord Jesus Christ. Just gather Him up in your arms and hug up on Him and don't let go. That's so. You see, trouble drives us. Trouble from the hand of the Lord now drives a believer, not away from the Lord. Doesn't drive him away. drives him to the Lord. And oftentimes when maybe we're wondering here and wonder there, maybe the Lord in His gracious love and chastisement, whom the Father loveth, He chastises, He sends trouble that we might run unto Him for grace to help in time of need. Some have called this psalm here the prayer of an exiled king on his way back to the throne. David was exiled, but David didn't stay that way. God heard his cry, and God delivered him. Hear my prayer, O God, verse 1. Hear my cry, O God. O God. Doesn't say, hear my cry, O people. Doesn't say, hear my cry, O friend. Hear my cry, O God. Would you hear my cry? Hear my cry. And attend unto it. Attend unto it. You know, David was a man of prayer. We've seen this all through our study in the book of Psalms. Let me just turn with me and let's read a few references. David was a man of prayer, you know, but every believer is a man of prayer. Notice back, if you will, Psalm 54, verse 2. Hear my prayer, O God. Give ear to the words of my mouth. In Psalm 55, verse 1. Give ear to my prayer, O God. Hide not thyself from my supplication. And then as we considered last week, verse 2, Psalm 57. I will cry unto God Most High, unto God that performeth all things for me. Well, I'm going to cry unto the one. I'm going to cry unto God who is God. The one who has all power and all authority. He's no dumb idol. He's no dead rock or stone. He's the Most High God. He's the true and living God. I'm going to call upon Him. You know, the Scriptures assure us, whosoever. I'm a whosoever. How about you? I'm a whosoever. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. I'm a whosoever. I'm going to call upon Him. He is the Lord who delights to show mercy. Our gracious Lord is not hardened against the cries of His children. You know, He doesn't weary hearing us cry unto Him. Our prayers are never spent in vain. When we cry unto Him for grace to help in time of need, you know, He encourages us to do that. In Philippians chapter 4, He said, make your requests known unto me. You have any requests? Well, make them known unto... Our Lord said, pour out your heart before me. Oftentimes in different religious circles, they'll have... Anybody have a request? And they'll spend their time and time and time with taking up time when they could be preaching the gospel with requests. Make your request known unto Him. That's what He says. Seeing that we have a great high priest that has passed into the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, what does He say? Come boldly unto the throne of grace that you may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. Where else can a believer go but to the Lord to find relief, comfort, and assurance unto the rock that is higher than I? Where else can a sinner cry unto the Lord but unto the Lord who is able to save to the uttermost? He is able to save. Our God is not weak and impotent, is He? The God down the street is. They preach a God who wants to and can't. They preach a God who's tried and failed. That's not the God we're talking about. They've got another God down there, another gospel. The God of the Bible is not weak, impotent, frail. He's God Almighty. He's the sovereign, eternal, everlasting God who is able to save to the uttermost. And you reckon He's able to keep us once He saves us? The Word of God says so. He's able to keep us from falling. Not only that, but to present us faultless before the presence of His glory and to do it with exceeding joy. I'm going to call upon Him. How about you? I'm going to cry unto the Lord to help and save. Paul gives instructions to the Thessalonians in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. He says, in everything, give thanks. Pray without ceasing, he said. Pray without ceasing. Your prayer is also like worship. It's spontaneous. Prayer is not something that's cold and mechanical. Prayer is the cry of the heart unto God. And you don't have to audibly pray. The Lord knows the very thoughts of your heart. He knows your need before you ask. Pray without ceasing, he says, and in everything give thanks. For this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. Oh, sweet hour of prayer. That's one of my favorite songs. Sweet hour of prayer that takes me from the world of care. I like to have a sweet moment of prayer. Let alone an hour of prayer. I find my mind so wandering, so frail, so fickle that if I can just get 15 seconds or 30 seconds of praying unto the Lord, that's a blessed time. But I'm going to call upon God, the Most High God. God who is God. He said, I'm the Lord, beside me there is no other. Now you can have this peanut God. I don't want anything to do with him. Can't save a flea. Can't save a dead sinner. I need the God who is a mighty God, the everlasting God, who speaks and it's done, who commands and it stands fast. The only place a sinner will truly worship is at the throne of a sovereign God. Everything else is just hypocrisy. Just hypocrisy. Just religious people playing games. Notice verse 2, from the end of the earth will I cry unto thee when my heart is overwhelmed. Lord, lead me to the rock. Lead me to Christ. Lead me to Christ who is higher, higher than my trouble. He's bigger than my trouble. Any problem too big for God? Absolutely not. Anything too hard for God? Absolutely not. From the ends of the earth will I cry. David was cast out of Jerusalem, wasn't he? But not out of the presence of God. There's no place so remote, no distance too great, but that we have access to the mercy seat of God in Christ Jesus. He's everywhere present, is he not? Huh? He's everywhere present. Even John, when they cast him out to the Alcatraz of his day, out there on the Isle of Patmos, had ready, open access and liberty to the throne of grace. He says there, I was in the Spirit on the Lord's day, and I heard behind me a great voice. And there's the Lord. And he had that glorious revelation of the Lord Jesus Christ. And then it says in verse 16 or verse 15, I fell at his feet as a dead man. And he laid his hand upon me and said, fear not, I'm the first, I'm the last. It's okay, John. It's okay. Oh, what a privilege we have. What a privilege we have to take everything to God in prayer. David's request here is very straightforward and simple, isn't it? He doesn't ask for money. Doesn't ask for riches. He asks for leadership. Lord, lead me to the rock. Lead me to Christ. Lead me to the rock that you have established. Lead me to the rock, the foundation that you have established. There's none like our rock. I want you to turn to this scripture and look at this with me. Deuteronomy 32. You want to mark this in your Bible, I know, and refer to it later. Deuteronomy 32. When the children of Israel took the land of Canaan, it was inhabited by giants, inhabited by many nations and mighty and armed and men of war. And this little nation walked in and conquered it. How'd that happen? Look what it says here, Deuteronomy 32, verse 30. How should one chase a thousand? How should one soldier of Israel chase a thousand Philistines and put 10,000 to flight except their rock had sold them? Notice that's capital R-O-C-K. Their rock had sold them, promoted them, helped them, sustained them. He did fight the battle for them. and the Lord has shut them up. For their rock, notice verse 31, their rock, their help, their foundation, speaking of the enemy, the Philistine, the Hittites, the Amalekites, all the other ites, their rock is not as our rock. Different foundation. Even our enemies themselves being judges. Our rock. Oh, our rock. Not like that rock down the street. Our foundation is certain and sure. He said, I behold, I lay in Zion for foundation. Now, whose rock is this? God's rock. God's foundation. Behold, I lay in Zion for foundation a stone, a tried stone, a precious cornerstone, a sure foundation. It's a certain rock. It's a sure rock. And it's the high rock. It's the high way. The Lord Jesus Christ. When my heart is overwhelmed with a sense of my sin, when my heart is overwhelmed and burdened with guilt, my cry is, Lord, lead me to Christ who is all my pardon for all my sin. The blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son, cleanses us from all sin, original and actual. Sin of omission, sin of commission. Past, present, future. The Lord Jesus Christ cleanses us from all our sin. When my heart is overwhelmed with my burden and the sense of guilt of sin, show me Christ, who is my pardon, who is my righteousness. When my heart is overwhelmed with affliction, the affliction of God's good providence, lead me to Christ, who is our comfort in the time of storm. As he says in Isaiah 40, verse 1, comfort you, my people. Speak ye comfortably to Jerusalem, crying to her that her warfare is accomplished, for she hath received of the Lord's hand double for all her sin. Well, that's comfort, isn't it? All redemption and all righteousness provided freely by His grace. When my heart is overwhelmed with pride and unbelief, lead me to Christ, my faithful high priest, whoever lives to intercede for me. Remember what John wrote, my little children, these things I write unto you that you sin not. But when you do, well, you're out. It's over. No, he didn't say that. When you do, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous, who ever lives to intercede for us. God the Holy Spirit always leads us unto the Lord Jesus Christ for all of salvation and all of righteousness. Now listen to me. I'm not a novice here. I've been preaching for many years. God the Holy Spirit always leads us unto the Lord Jesus Christ for all salvation, for all justification, for all righteousness, never back to the law, but to Christ who fulfilled the law of God for us. Our Lord said, I didn't come to destroy the law, I came to honor the law. It says in Isaiah 42:21, the Lord is well pleased for His righteousness' sake, for He will magnify the law and honor it. The Holy Spirit does not lead us to Christ for justification and then back to the law for sanctification. Not at all. He is our wisdom, righteousness, sanctification, and redemption. In the Lord Jesus Christ, He is. In Him was all the fullness of the Godhead bodily, and in Christ the believer stands complete in Him. Complete. Nothing lacking. Complete. He's able to supply all our need according to His riches in glory through the Lord Jesus Christ. Christ is our rule of life. You want a rule to live by? People are always looking for rules to live by. You read Galatians chapter 6 sometime. God forbid I should glory save in the cross of the Lord Jesus Christ. That's our rule. The glory only in Christ. If you want a rule, there it is. Glory only in Him. Worship only Him. From the end of the earth will I cry unto Thee. Look at Psalm 61 again. Lead me when my heart is overwhelmed. When it's overwhelmed when I'm in despair, when I'm blue, when I'm down and out, lead me to Christ. He's our comfort. He's our hope. He's our assurance. And He is high. He is higher than I. How high is He? How high is this rock? You know, this foundation, when we build a house, we dig down in the dirt and lay a foundation. This foundation that God has laid is a high foundation. It's not a low one. It's high. How high is it? As high as God. When He had by Himself purged our sin, He sat down the right hand of the throne of God. That's how high our rock is. And you know what the blessed thing of it is? He's the forerunner who has entered in for us. And it says in Ephesians chapter 2, verse 6, that we're seated in the heavenlies in Christ Jesus. Right now. In the representative man, what's true of the head is true of the body. Where the head is, the body's not too far behind, is it? Where the head is, that's where the body is. My head, my body, speaking of this body naturally, where my head goes, my body goes. The Lord Jesus Christ, as our representative head, has entered in and He's seated in the heavenlies in Christ Jesus, and we're seated in Him. That's comfort. That's comfort. That's assurance. Look at verse 3. Four. Thou hast been a shelter for me and a strong tower from the enemy. David, like Isaiah, had only one refuge and shelter of grace in the strong tower of salvation that's found in Christ Jesus. The shelter from the storm. Turn to Isaiah 32. Isaiah 32, 1. Behold, a king shall reign in righteousness, and princes shall rule in judgment, and a man, and this is the God-man mediator, shall be a hiding place from the wind, a covering from the tempest, as rivers of water in a dry place, as a shadow of a... Here's this rock again. A great rock in a weary land. And this is a weary land, but He's the great rock upon which we rest. He is the rock of ages. We're found in Him. You see, the Lord Jesus Christ is not only the foundation, He's the shelter. He's the shelter from every enemy. From every enemy. In Proverbs 18, it says, the name of the Lord is a strong tower, and the righteous runneth into it, and is safe. And is safe. Safe. Christ has been a shelter and a strong tower. Christ has been our shelter and a strong tower, and will continue to be so. For our God and Savior, He never changes. He says that, I am the Lord. I change not. Therefore, you sons of Jacob, you're not consumed. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. He has always been our shelter, and He will always be our strong tower. Our strong tower. You remember way back at Psalm 18? Turn back over there. Psalm 18, He's our strong tower. He's that sure hiding place. Psalm 18, David had a whole list of descriptive titles for this shelter we have. Look at Psalm 18, verse 1. I will love Thee, O Lord, my strength. The Lord is my... Well, there's that rock again. The Lord is my rock and my fortress. My deliverer, my God, my strength in whom I'll trust, my buckler, the horn of my salvation, and He's my high tower. I'll call upon the Lord who is worthy to be praised, so shall I be saved from mine enemies. I'll call upon the Lord. He's a strong tower. He is a shelter from the enemy. I tell you, the believer has many, many enemies that would do him in, but they can't. Because of our strong tower, the Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, He says in verse 4, I will abide. I will abide. I will abide because of the shelter. I will abide because of that rock that is higher than I. I will abide because of that strong tower. I will abide in thy tabernacle, not temporarily. Salvation, not temporary amnesty. He saves us with an everlasting salvation. Isaiah 45:17. I will abide in thy tabernacle forever, in his tabernacle. I will trust under the covering, under the shelter of thy wings forever. I shall abide under the protection of the Lord. You see, the believer is kept. We're kept by the power of God. We don't keep ourselves. You remember Psalm 27? Turn back there. Psalm 27. Psalm 27. Look at verse 4. One thing have I desired of the Lord, that will I seek after, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to behold the beauty of the Lord, to inquire in his tabernacle, in his temple. For in the time of trouble he shall hide me, in the secret of his tabernacle shall he hide me, and he'll set me upon a rock. There's that rock again. You can't get away from it, can you? You see, the scripture's all about Christ, isn't it? It's all about the Lord Jesus Christ. In the secret of his tabernacle shall he hide me. That's Christ. That's the Lord Jesus Christ. He shall set me upon the rock. Now shall my head be lifted up above my enemies round about me. Therefore will I offer in his tabernacle sacrifices of joy. I will sing, yea, I will sing praises unto the Lord. Look back at our text again. I will abide in thy tabernacle forever. I will trust. I will trust. I will trust him. I will trust him. I will abide, continually looking to the Lord Jesus Christ to provide all things for us in salvation. I will abide because he keeps us. I will abide. You know, believers abide in him. It says that in John. They do abide in him. They remain in him. They continue in him. They look unto him. I will abide in him forever. And I'll trust him. I'll trust him. All this is by his power, by his grace. We believe him. You know how we believe him? You know, faith is called a precious thing. We have obtained like precious faith through the righteousness of the Lord Jesus Christ. Faith is such a precious thing. It's God's gift. We believe according to the working of his mighty power. Ephesians 1:19. I will trust in him forever. I will abide in him forever. You see, the believer doesn't want out. He's not seeking a way out. Oh, no. No, we must have Christ. You know, that's how he draws us with irresistible grace. He makes himself irresistible. He makes himself irresistible. It's like this story I heard. A preacher friend of mine was out to dinner with one of his friends. And this family had a little child, 3 or 4 years old. And they were having dinner, and this little child got a hold of a corn cob, eating that corn on the cob, just all full of butter and salt. And oh, she's just loving it, eating it up. And they got ready to leave the restaurant. And Daddy and Mama said, you put down that corn cob now. Dinner's over. We're going home. And the little child wouldn't let go of it. Wouldn't let go. It's mine. Mine. I won't let go of it. Mine. Well, the owner of the restaurant, a friend of this preacher, came along with a solution. And he went behind the cash register of the bar there and got out a big candy bar and brought it over to the table and said, here. Here's this candy bar. You know what she did? She threw that corn on the cob away. She made that an irresistible offer. And that's what the Lord Jesus Christ, not saying that salvation's an offer, understand me. But that's how he draws us irresistibly, how he draws us with irresistible grace. He makes himself irresistible, like that little baby. Away with that corn cob. I want that candy bar. And she grabbed hold of that candy bar, and they went out the door. Well, my friend, those who trust the Lord Jesus Christ do so with a passion. They do so with a love in their heart and a passion and a commitment. They know whom they have believed. And they're persuaded that He's able to keep that which I've committed unto Him against that day. I will trust in the shelter of Thy wings forever. Believers abide in Him. They take their refuge upon that mercy seat in the Lord Jesus Christ. Now look at verse 5. For Thou, O God, hast heard my cry. Thou hast heard my heart's cry, my prayer. Thou hast given me the heritage of those that fear Thy name. This blessed heritage we have. What great mercy on the Lord's part to take any notice of such faithless, sinful worms as we are. And yet He does, out of covenant love and out of covenant obligation. Out of covenant obligation. He's a surety, the everlasting covenant. What great mercy the Lord. The old timers called it. They had a word for it. Turn over here to Psalm 138. The old timers had a word for it. Condescending grace. Condescending grace. Psalm 138. Notice verse 6. Though the Lord be high. There's that high rock again. How high is He? You can't preach Him too high. You can't preach God too big. I'd like to be guilty of it. If you're going to charge me with something, charge me with preaching Him too high, too big. Though the Lord be high, yet He hath respect unto the lowly. But the proud, He doesn't recognize the proud. He knows the far off. What great mercy that the Lord takes notice of such low creatures as we are. Yet out of covenant love, He does so. What is man that Thou art mindful of him? David said in Psalm 8. And then he said, Thou hast given the heritage unto those that fear Thy name. Those who fear His name are those who believe Him. Those who believe Him. Now the heritage here is the blessedness of covenant blessings. Freely and sovereignly bestowed on the elect of God. And notice this. Thou hast given the heritage, the inheritance of those, unto those that fear Thy name. It's the gift of God. Everything connected with mercy, grace, love, and salvation is His free gift. His free gift. Not that we're deserving. Mercy is not merited. Grace is not earned. He is merciful unto us, not because we're deserving. He's merciful unto the guilty. There's grace for the guilty because He is gracious. Because He delights to show mercy. The heritage is the blessedness of covenant blessings freely and sovereignly bestowed on the elect of God. God who spared not His own Son but delivered Him up for us all. How shall He not with Him also freely give us freely? I like that word freely. Justified freely by His grace. How shall He not with Him also freely give us all things in Christ Jesus? You see, what he's saying here, believers have been made heirs of God and joint heirs with the Lord Jesus Christ. You remember what Peter said about this inheritance? Let's see if we can find this over in 1 Peter. 1 Peter chapter 1, I believe it is. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 3. This inheritance we have, you know, an inheritance, just thinking about an inheritance naturally, an inheritance is not earned by the children, is it? An inheritance is earned by someone else and then given to you as a free gift of love. The parents, when they pass on, they write out their will. They give their inheritance unto the children. It's something they earned and something they give out of love. Well, same is true of God's inheritance. We didn't earn it. The Lord Jesus Christ earned all inheritance for us, and He freely gives it unto us. But look at this inheritance here. It's not like an earthly inheritance. You may have a will that you put out a legal will that's drawn up by an attorney, and you say you're going to give this to this person and this to that person, that to this person, however, but you know that will may be contested. Somebody may take you to court and try to change that will, and you're dead and gone. You have nothing to say about it. It's left in the hands of others. But this will and testament of the Lord Jesus Christ is totally different. He ever lives to intercede. He ever lives to enforce His last will and testament. And this inheritance we have, look what it says in 1 Peter 1. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Verse 3, 1 Peter 1, 3. Who according to His abundant mercy hath begotten us again to a living hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance that's incorruptible. It's an incorruptible inheritance. It's undefiled. It cannot fade away. It's reserved for you. He's made a reservation for you. In heaven for you who are kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation, ready to be revealed in this last time. Oh, the inheritance we have in the Lord Jesus Christ. What a blessing God has given to us. Thou hast given the heritage, all the inheritance of grace. All grace now and glory forever. Those that fear Thy name. One old writer said this, this inheritance is a gift of God to His children. It comes to them through the death of Christ the testator. It's not of law, not of works, and is acquired. It is not acquired nor purchased, but owing to God's free grace, to His predestinating grace as a source, to justifying grace through the righteousness of Christ as right and title unto it, and to regenerating and sanctifying grace in them. So said John Gill, one of my favorite commentators. Believers do highly reverence His name. They do fear His name. Now, this is not a slavish fear. This is an awe and reverential. It's a reverential fear we have of God. We do fear His name with holy awe and high esteem. We do stand in admiration of the Lord's sovereign authority, and do fear offending Him. For high, holy, and reverent, high and holy and reverent is His name, not our name. Don't ever call me Reverend Tom. Just call me Tom Tom. Just call me old Tom Tom. My neighbor wanted to know, my new neighbor where we're building, wanted to know how many degrees I had. I guess he figured I was right educated. I told him I had just one. I told him I'm an SS. He said, what? He thought maybe I was a mechanical engineer. He said, you're an SS? I said, yeah, I'm an SS. What is that? Sinner saved. That's my only hope. A sinner saved by God's grace. For Thou hast heard my cry. Thou hast given the heritage of those that fear Thy name. Look at verse 6. Thou wilt prolong the king's life. Thou wilt prolong the king's life and his years as many generations. God showed mercy unto David. God killed his enemies, including his own son, Absalom, and King Saul, and brought him back to the throne, gave him a reign over Israel for 40 years. And God added days to his reign and to his life. But how much more so is this true of the King of Kings and Lord of Lords? It may be understood of his life as man, although he died for our sin, he rose again because he justified us from our sin and lives evermore to intercede for us. His days are prolonged. He lives eternally for us. He said in Revelation, I'm he that liveth and was dead. Behold, I'm alive forevermore. I have the keys of hell and death. And the duration of His kingdom, of which there is no end. Isaiah 9, verse 6. Verse 7 in our text now. Psalm 61, verse 7. He shall abide forever. He shall abide forever. And this is speaking of Christ. David's reign as king ended after 40 years. But our King of Kings and Lord of Lords, His reign has no end. From everlasting to everlasting, Thou art God. Our King shall abide forever. Before God, forever. Oh, prepare mercy. Mercy is prepared for His covenant people at the King's hand. It's sovereign mercy too. Not of him that willeth, nor of him that runneth, but of God that shows mercy unto whom He will. And God's truth is prepared. The Lord Jesus Christ is the prepared truth that we need to know and need to rest in, which may preserve Him and us in Him forever and ever. So, I'll sing unto Thy name. God has given him a name which is above every name. There's no other name like His name. His name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, the Mighty God. You know, we ought to never use that word wonderful except in reference to Christ. In reference to Christ. His name is wonderful. His name is wonderful. Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. So I'll sing praises unto Thy name, no other name under heaven, given among men, whereby we must be saved. So I'll sing praise unto Thy name forever. God has highly exalted Him and given Him a name which is above every name, that at that name every knee shall bow, every tongue shall confess that He's Lord to the glory of God the Father. Our Lord Jesus Christ is enthroned to all eternity. Being raised from the dead, received up to glory, to the glory of God and the eternal good of His people, because He lives, we live in Him. Our security, and our salvation is as safe as His enthronement. How safe is His enthronement? Who's going to kick Him and push Him off the throne? Who's going to elbow Him out of the way? No one's going to push Him off the throne. And no one's going to be able to take us out of His hand. No man, He said, can pluck them out of My hand. My Father who gave them Me is greater than all, and no man can pluck them out of His hand. Our salvation is as safe as His enthronement. Here is our safety, our security, and our salvation. And our delight. Believers reign with Him as kings and priests under our God. And we sing the song of the eternal ages unto Him who loved us and washed us from our sin in His own blood. To Him be all the honor and glory both now and forever and ever. Amen. So will I sing praise unto Thy name forever, that I may daily perform worship unto Him. So I'll sing unto Thy name now and forever. I like what the old woman said, whom the Lord saved. You know what she said? Said, the Lord done saved me. He'll never hear the end of it. To sing praises unto His name forever. The Lord saved me. He'll never hear the end of it. He had done it. Glory to His name.